Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Good afternoon, fantasy baseball fans. I'm Paul Williamson, and this is Fantasy Baseball Today, a Sports Ethos presentation. Yes, the podcast is here to stay. I am part of a team to keep this podcast going and try to fill the big shoes of Joe Ulrico, who has sadly left Sports Ethos. However, me and a group of people are going to be filling this spot here, giving you all the information you need to win all your leagues. Go follow me on Twitter or X, however you call it, at PaulW_34. And of course, follow Sports Ethos Fantasy Baseball at Ethos Fantasy BB to check out all of our content. This is a super exciting time for Sports Ethos right now. A lot of growth happening, especially in the basketball division. I'm hopeful that we can grow the baseball division here. A little bit about myself real fast. My name is Paul Williamson, as I said. This is my first ever podcast. I'm super excited to do this and provide y'all with as much positive information as I can to help you out. I graduated from Texas Tech in 2014. Wreck 'em, get your guns up, everyone. I'm just trying to break into the industry. I really hope that y'all like my content. Definitely send me your suggestions and your thoughts at PaulW_34. My passion from baseball runs deep. I grew up in the Astrodome, essentially, watching the Astros in the 90s, watching us get pwned by the Braves every postseason. You know, when you got a 5-game series against Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine, John Smoltz, you're gonna have a bad time. But I love baseball. But before we get into things, I gotta give a shout out to our friends at Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from the MLB, golf, NBA, and the NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available for your favorite teams and for you to follow them. Get the latest odds, lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. All right, that was my first ad read through as a journalist here, so that was pretty cool. Thank you to Bet Online for supporting the program. So let's get into things. I'm going to split up the podcast a little bit different than Joe. I'll just do pitchers and hitters, and then I will hit some major ads and drops at the end. But first, let's start with the pitchers, and we'll go into the injury news from the weekend, starting with Joe Musgrove. He is on the 15-day injured list, and managers obviously shouldn't be dropping Joe Musgrove. My first podcast, I'm not going to come up here and say to drop Joe Musgrove. I'm not that bold, and you shouldn't be either. His ERA is 6.37, is backed up with an xFIP of 4.29, a Sierra of 4.13. Look, this isn't like end of the world numbers. You know, you got to drop him. He's not ever going to come back. But it's not necessarily all that encouraging either. You know, I'm not going to encourage you to buy him low or sell him low. I think you're just going to have to ride him out here. His K rate is down to 20.1%. His CSW and swinging strike rates are a little down from his career numbers, but nothing too wild. So like I said, Joe Musgrove, I'm not super worried about him, but I'm also not super excited about him either. He's going on the IL for now. You're not going to drop him, but keep an eye on his performance. There's a chance he might not be what you think, or it wasn't in the years past. Like I said, there's nothing glaring that tells me that he is or is not going to be a major asset forward. He's still someone you want on your rosters, obviously, but do keep an eye on those things. It doesn't look super pretty right now. Let's move on to Ryan Pepiot. We got some good news from him after taking a 107-mile-an-hour comebacker to his legs. X-rays came back negative. We don't know if he is for sure going to make his next start versus the Yankees. Brian Murphy of MLB.com says he is expected to, but that obviously could change. The medical staff can find something. They might want to take it slow. Whatever it is, he is a solid asset right now. He has a 368 3.38 ERA, backed up with the xFIP of 3.61 and his Sierra of 3.33. So Pepiot is definitely someone that you want on your rosters and is a very strong hold for the rest of the season. We'll talk a little bit of George Kirby. He has been listed as a probable starter for Wednesday, so that's great news after being removed from the game versus Houston on Friday with a knee issue. Nothing specific was announced. They did do an MRI and imaging, but the results haven't been officially announced. But as of right now, there's nothing too worrisome. Go ahead and keep Kirby in those lineups. Nathan Eovaldi is now on the 15-day IL with groin tightness. He's not expected to need a rehab start to come back and is trending toward returning after missing the minimum number of games. He has a 2.61 ERA so far. Some regression is coming, but he has a solid xFIB of 3.70 and Sierra of 3.82. That's not terrible. And he won't be awesome at 2.61 all year, but he is someone that you're going to want on your rosters, and you can start him against most teams in the league, especially on the Texas Rangers. He has a decent team concept context as well. So let's move away from the injured dudes and go to the dudes that are playing, and this wouldn't be a Fantasy Baseball Today podcast without talking about Jarrett Jones. He had 7 innings pitched over the weekend, 1 hit, 10 strikeouts, no runs, a 35.4% CSW. He now has the 8th best whip and K rate in the league, 2nd in swinging strike rate. The only question for him is going to be, how long can he go? He has yet to throw more than 130 innings in a professional season, and with injuries to high velocity guys, don't do it now, but if you're in head-to-head league, there's a very good chance that he is not going to be available in the final weeks of the season for your playoffs. There is not a history of there for him to go more than 130, 140 innings. So maybe don't do it now, but in the coming weeks or so, maybe try and see if you can find early round value for Jarrett Jones right now to get ready for your fantasy baseball playoffs.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Later in the year, you have to be thinking about these things right now. You can't wait till August, September, go, oh crap, Jarrett Jones isn't in there, what do I do? And you've been relying him all year, so go ahead and see here in the coming weeks. But if you're in roto leagues, I wouldn't be so aggressive on that, because obviously what you get is what you get, and you don't have to worry about the playoffs. If you get that excellent production in these coming months, then that's going to be great for you. So roto leagues, hold Jarrett Jones for a while. If you're in head-to-head, maybe in the coming month or so, go ahead and see if you can get an early round value for him, because he probably won't be there come the end of the year. Kevin Gausman, we're going to talk a little bit about him. The strikeouts haven't been gone the last couple outings. Before the last one, that was a bit annoying, but they came back. He got 8 strikeouts and 5 1/3 innings on Saturday. That bumps his K rate to a more respectable 21.5%. His CSW is now 30% after the 33.9% from Saturday. Any kind of buy low window on him is closing. His xFIB is 3.61. His Sierra is 3.72. That's slightly up from last year, but still, remember, he had some terrible outings to begin the year. So even his xFIB and Sierra are due to come down some as well, along with his on-the-surface numbers. If you can get him for a couple of rounds of cheaper value, I'd go for it. I'm in on Kevin Gausman. I think he's going to be fine. Let's see here. Let's move on to Jameson Taillon. He's just outside the top 10 most added players, so I'll be sure to talk about him here. He's done well on the surface. Last game, he went 6 innings, struck out 7, allowed 2 hits, 2 walks, no runs. The CSW was 29.3% with a 7.1 swinging strike rate. That last number isn't all that great. The CSW and swinging strike rates for the year are below league average, but he also does not walk with a well above walk rate. He is an ad But I don't think he's anyone you're going to be starting every single time out there. He has a questionable XFIP of 431, Sierra 432. You got the Pirates coming up next. I think he's an okay start there. They have the fourth worst team OPS at 642. So Taillon is someone that Taillon is someone that you can probably start against a good number of teams in the league. He's a solid add, but I'm not necessarily going to be rushing to start him against every single team. He's definitely going to be faded in some matchups. Let's talk Alek Manoah. His outing was, shall we say, bad. Very bad. Six innings, six hits, four walks, six earned. He did strike out six in four innings. So that was okay. But if you look below the surface, it's ugly. 8.7 swinging strike rate, a 28.3 CSW, and more specifically, his pitch level value was awful at 467. There's just nothing about this start that makes me think that he's going to be a valuable asset this year. Socially distance your roster from Alek Manoah from the time being. Maybe he's going to be able to turn it around at some point. Keep an eye on him. But man, it didn't look good. It was not pretty. Let's talk Garrett Crochet. If there is ever a case study in ignoring surface level stats, we can ignore the ERA with Garrett Crochet that is currently sitting at over 5, even after his solid Sunday outing in which he went 6 strong innings with 6 strikeouts, 1 earned run, 3 hits, no walks. He did have just a 9.1 swinging strike rate, a 28.4 CSW, but overall, he's been really good this year. He has an excellent K rate at 32.3%, a low walk rate of 5.5%, excellent swinging strike rate, CSW is good, but best of all, he has a sexy XFIB of 287 and a Sierra of 263. If he is on your waiver wire, what is wrong with you? Just go ahead and press pause in this podcast and head on over to your league and add him right now, especially in roto leagues. The analysis is the same with Jared Jones. There is a question as to whether or not Garrett Crochet can get you more than 130 or so innings, and he's someone who is tentatively not going to be available in September or as much available come fantasy playoff time. So in your head-to-head leagues here in the coming weeks or so, consider trading Garrett Crochet, but make sure you get good value for him because he is going to be a very elite pitching option for the rest of the season. I know the team concept isn't great with him being on the White Sox and all, wins are so volatile and pitchers have such little control over wins to begin with that I don't think that should scare you off. Go pick up Garrett Crochet, and here in the coming weeks or so, see if you can get excellent value for him. Then go get a guy who's going to be there for your playoffs. But in roto leagues, get him and keep him. He's someone that can really boost your stats and really, especially in a year like this where so many injuries are plaguing pitching staffs all across fantasy baseball and in the majors, he's someone that can really provide you a boost. Let's move on and talk about Josh Hader, the Astros closer. I see him as a buy low candidate. Look, on the surface, he has a ugly 1-3 record with a 6.14 ERA, a 1.43 WHIP, and he got his third loss of the season on Sunday against Seattle. Again, under the surface, guys, we can't just keep looking. You can't look at the surface stats. You got to look underneath. The XFIP is 280, the 230 Sierra. Ignore that ERA and WHIP. Just ignore it. He has a 16.4 swinging strike rate. He has a 30.7 CSW. These are numbers right along with his career. Only 54% of people have been left on base. That number is going to go up. A 400 BABIP is bound to drop. He is going to be fine. The velo is down just 0.2 miles per hour from 95.9 from 96.1. If you can go out there and trade one of your later round closers to go pick up Hader, I'd do it right now. The Astros aren't going to be this terrible. There are going to be more save opportunities for Hader. He's going to be fine. Now, the rest of the Astros bullpen to get him the ball, it's a different story. But this is an Astros team that I think is going to be just at least a little bit better than what they've been. And it's going to provide him more save opportunities. And he's going to perform. Go see if you can buy him low. Buy the dip right now. I am in on Josh Hader for the rest of the year. Let's talk Christian Scott in his debut. 6.2 innings, pitch, 5 hits, 1 earned run, 6 strikeouts, a walk, 35.1 CSW, 19.1 swinging strike rate. All throughout his minor league career, he had solid numbers with solid metrics to back him up, with an xFIP of 2.96 last season in AA with a real ERA of 3.20. All throughout his minor league career, he had multiple 30% strikeout rates. He is 33% rostered on Yahoo, and coming up against the Mets, he is a start. He is going to be pitching. He's going to be pitching in New York. Citi Field is a great ballpark for hitters. For pitchers. They're 29th ranked hitter from the ballpark, according to StatCast Factors. Go get Christian Scott if you can. He is someone that I think can be not only good in this start, but I think he could potentially have rest of season value. All right, let's talk an interesting one, a guy who I've kind of gone back and forth right in this podcast in terms of, you know, how I really feel about him. It was Mackenzie Gore, 3 innings, 6 hits, 6 runs allowed, only 2 earned. So that's kind of a silver lining there. 2 walks, 4 strikeouts in 3 innings. So that's okay. A couple of errors doomed his outing that led to Vladimir Guerrero grand slam. So that really kind of, you know, made the outing look to be way worse than it probably was. He's got a couple of rough matchups coming up. He's got the Red Sox in Fenway, and he's got the Phillies. XFIP of 315, Sierra of 324, K rate of 28.2. He is a start in 15 team leagues. Like, if you're in a 15 team league, you're going to start him. But it's 12 team leagues, going to be a little more tenuous. You know, looking ahead, he's got to start on Sunday. If you're in a head to head league, you might have to make a call if you want to try and save your ERA or whip or go after the strikeouts. It's not like, you know, it's a guarantee that his ERA and whip is going to kill you. But it's, you know, against those offenses, Mackenzie Gore, you know, there's a chance that he, you know, will shit the bed and ruin those things for you. But I think I lean towards starting him in 12-team leagues. I would understand it if you benched him, especially if you are absolutely going to want to preserve your ERA and whip at the end of the week. I would get it, but I ultimately would start Gore. All right, we've covered the pitchers. Let's move on to the offense. And just like with the pitchers, we will start with some injuries. Steven Kwan will lead off. He was placed on the IL today, and the Guardians are going to call up Kyle Manzardo. Anytime a major prospect gets called up, a ton of hype is surrounding that person, and with Manzardo, I get it. 8 homers in the last 8 games, 14 runs scored, batted in. He is someone who should be scooped up in 12-team leagues for sure. He has major power and run producing upside. It is unfortunate that we had to lose the AL leader in batting average in order to get Manzardo up here. But at the end of the day, one person's loss is another person's opportunity. And this is a chance for managers to get to know Manzardo. We get to see what he can do. Obviously with a rookie coming up, you know, just because you're a surefire prospect doesn't mean they're going to produce. I mean, you look at Jackson Holliday. I think he is worth looking at, especially if you're in need of some power and some RBI. He's going to be put in the middle of that lineup, and as you know, he's going to have opportunity, and that opportunity is a prerequisite to fantasy success. He's got the tools, he's got everything you would want. Steven Kwan is a strong hold, obviously an easy hold. It is just a 10-day stint, according to the Associated Press, so it's not like he's going to be out for long. So hold on to Steven Kwan. He's going to be a solid asset for the rest of the year. So there we go. Let's move on to Wyatt Lankford. He will miss 3 to 4 weeks with a hamstring strain. And the way he started off the year so poorly, he is a pretty hard hold in shallow formats. In 12-team formats, I think you should hold him. I would lean toward holding him. He is one of the higher, he is on the drop list today. He's in the top 10 of drops. And I get it, but I disagree. Especially if you drafted him in the first 75 or 100 picks or so, because a lot of y'all did draft him pretty early in your draft. And if you did, I don't think you can cut bait so quickly right now. I know he only has 1 homer. He has a 588 OPS. But the under-the-hood numbers aren't terrible. They're not great, right? The expected batting average, expected slugging, barrel, hard hit, sweet spot, all those numbers are okay. they're not popping off at you, but they're not terrible either. It's not to a point where you're going, oh, well, those numbers are just so bad, we got to get rid of them right now. I don't think we're there yet. He is having some good at bats with very solid chase and whiff rates. So it's just a matter of him making better contact. If it'd be one thing if he were, terrible whiff rates, chasing, just looks like a rookie up there, but he's making contact. There is kind of a basis for him to improve on. In 3 to 4 weeks is hard, and I would understand it if you want to try and jettison him. But I just feel like, if you drafted him so early, I don't know if he is someone you absolutely have to cut. If you feel like you have to, I guess I won't blame you too much. I would lean toward keeping Langford. Alec Bohm gave us a little bit of a scare. He left early on Saturday, but it was a 9-1 ball game when he left. It was called precautionary, and he came back out on Sunday. He is enjoying a very good year. He has a .360 batting average, and everything's looking great for him. And while some regression is coming, I do believe that what he is doing is going to be here to stay. He has an XWOBA of .387, an XBA of .318, a 90.6 average exit velocity. He is not chasing pitches. He is not whiffing. He is not striking out a lot, and he is walking a lot. These are all extremely positive signs for Bohm. Now, look, I do think you can sell Bohm high, but you'd need to get some very good value for him. I'm talking early round value for him. Do not take him for just a few rounds above where you drafted him. Get early round value for Bohm because that's where he's going to end up. All of the under the hood numbers are backing up the surface numbers. He is someone that should be and who should only be moved for elite talent, because that is where I think Bohm is headed. I think rest of season, he's going to be one of the best. He's going to be one of the more better assets in fantasy baseball. So if you sell him high, make sure you sell him real high. Let's move on to O'Neill Cruz. He has started to turn things around. He has gone 14 for 42 over his last 13 games now after a 2-for-4 showing with a massive 2-run home run on Sunday. He's now batting .242, 5 homers, 12 RBI, 3 steals. Now the question is he a bit of a sell high? I think he kind of is. He has great exit velocity, barrel rate, and hard hit rates. He is crushing the ball when he hits it. You've seen the movie Major League with Soriano, that the man, when he runs into it, it's going to go a mile, but that's the problem. His chase, whiff, and K rates are all garbage. His XBA is middling at .239. His X slug is also middling at .398. If you can recoup draft day value for him in a trade, do it. A lot of y'all drafted him super early. And, if he had, at least a little bit better whiff rates and chase rates, if those numbers were just a little bit better, I would say that he was probably worth it. But the underlying numbers show that he is currently on an upward trajectory where you're going to get the most value for him right now, because another cold streak is coming. When you get a guy like this who doesn't strike out a lot, who strikes out a lot, doesn't walk a lot, but hits the cover off the ball, you go see if you can get someone who has more consistent value, someone who's more of a 5 category guy, someone who's not going to just give you a bunch of clunkers filled with about a week or two of excellent production, because those clunkers can really hurt you in every league. So go see if you can get draft day value for O'Neill Cruz right now, because I would definitely consider that, because there's a chance that he's going to turn into an extremely streaky hitter. Let's talk Gleyber Torres. I do believe that he is a sell low right now. He is struggling a lot. I bought into him to begin the year, but a lot of the numbers under the hood and on the surface just don't spell later in the season success for him. He does have a good chase rate, but everything else is either meh or terrible. His average velocity and walk rate are both in the meh category. The slightly improving K rate is eh, but it's kind of bad at 24.5%. The XBA is .210, XWOBA of .272, X slugging .290. Those are you're not having a good time if you've got Torres in your lineup. If you can trade him for a few rounds of lost value, I would very much consider it. I think he can still kind of turn things around and be a solid asset. You know, the chase rate does give me, give me some hope. The improving K rate, the average exit velocity is kind of starting to come up some. There are some positive signs for Torres, so I wouldn't go too crazy. I wouldn't be dropping like, you know, 10 rounds for him. But if you know, you drafted him in the 7th or 8th round and you can go get someone who was in the 10th or 11th round who's performing, I absolutely would do that. That's where I am at with Gleyber Torres. I'm selling him, but I'm not being super aggressive. I'm if you can get the right kind of value for him, I'd go ahead and do it. Let's talk someone who's a little more complicated, and it's Corbin Carroll. After a awesome year last year, he's been struggling hardcore. He came through with a 2 RBI single and a 2-for-4 showing over the weekend, and so that was a positive sign. Maybe he can turn that into something. So let's dive into the numbers here. He has a solid whiff strikeout and walk rates. To me, that tells me he's still having some good at bats. It's not like he's just swinging and missing and whiffing and not hitting the ball at all. The only problem is that his contact has been too ply soft. Is making his XBA 252, but I think it's lower than that. I think that's a typo. X slugging of 350. Unlike Torres and Cruz, he was given more. He was way more expensive, drafted in the first or second round in most drafts. It is just May 6th, and with an early round draft pick like this, you kind of want to tread carefully. You don't want to sell him too low here, because there is still some numbers that give you hope that he can turn it around. He's making contact. He's having good at-bats. The question is, will he start making better contact? Will he start barreling up balls? Now, the leash is getting shorter. There's no doubt. Here in a couple of weeks, if he isn't making better contact and he's still in the low 200s with his batting average, I would then consider being a little more aggressive in terms of trying to find a later round value for Carroll, because remember, it was just one good year from him. If he isn't turning it around here soon, I'd say in the next, 3 weeks or so, I would start considering and being a little more aggressive with your trade offers. Throw out a couple of offers right here. See if you can get some other early round dudes for him right now. But as of right now, I wouldn't be too aggressive. There is still some hope for Carroll, but the leash is shortening. Talk Vlad Guerrero here. He had the grand slam on Sunday, a sight for sore eyes. He went 22 games without a homer, 22 game homeless streak. That now brings his average up to 239 with 15 RBIs to go with those four homers. I consider him a buy low. And if you can buy him right now, I would. A manager who has been frustrated all year might see the Grand Slam as an opportunity to sell him, and I would be there to buy. He has an XWOBA of 366, an XBA of 271, XSlug of 474, XVelocity of 93.8. The barrel and hard hit rates are all excellent. He is striking out a little bit more. That does kind of suck, but he is walking more, and he still owns a solid chase rate and an okay to meh whiff rate. So it's not like he is swinging and missing at a ton of pitches. He's not swinging at terrible pitches a lot. He is striking out more, but he is walking more. And so overall, I think Vlad Guerrero is going to be just fine. He's going to be an early round asset. Go see if you can trade like a 4th or 5th round pick for him right now, and see if a manager will bite for it, because I am in on Vlad Guerrero for the rest of the year. There is a lot of good signs that point in the favor of him being a really good player this year. Let's talk Chaz Chisholm. After the trade of Luis Arias, he is leading off now, and I'm loving it. He got 2 stolen bases in one inning, stealing 2nd and 3rd. With him leading off as opposed to being in the heart of the lineup, it does give him a little more opportunity, a little more freedom to run. He has an excellent walk rate, and I know the Miami offense isn't really all that good, but he does have Brian De La Cruz and Josh Bell hitting behind him. Those aren't terrible hitters, those aren't great hitters either, but there is potential for him to walk a lot, steal some bases, get in the scoring position, and still be a very solid fantasy baseball asset. He has good exit velocity velocity and barrel rate, so the power potential is there. We all know he can steal bases. Some may see him as a sell, and I would buy him if someone was willing. He is definitely someone who I am in on for the rest of the year. He has a good power speed combination potential. Yes, the team rate isn't all that, the team context isn't all that great, but when you're leading off and you can steal a lot and you at least have some okay hitters behind you, the chances for him to get stolen bases, runs, have a good average, have good power, he can be a real good solid five category dude. So definitely bump Chaz Chisholm up. See if you can get someone who's willing to buy him or willing to sell him for a little bit less than what he's worth, because I am in, especially now that he's leading off. I like that. So let's move on to some of the popular ads. Brent Rooker is of the Athletics is the top ad, and I definitely can see why. You hit two homers on a day, people are going to notice. And he followed it up on with a 2-for-3 day on Sunday with two runs. He is now batting .256. He has 8 homers and 20 RBIs. He is definitely absolutely worth the ad right now in all leagues. He has an excellent expected slugging, an XWOBA. Is also very good. It's not the best XBA, but we're not here for the batting average. We're here for the homers and run production. With an exit velocity, barrel, hard hit, and sweet spot rates that are all at elite levels, he is due to keep this up. He will strike out a lot, but welcome to baseball in 2024. That shouldn't scare you too much. Go ahead and pick up Rooker. He is, I know it's the Athletics, but, you know, the Athletics haven't been terrible this year. You see the movie Major League, it might be happening in real life. These Athletics, you know, they want them out of town, but they're not letting it happen. So right now, the Athletics aren't a team to necessarily just completely, absolutely fade all their players. I think that there is some potential there, and I think that he is worth an ad. Another ad is Mikael Manzardo. We did talk about him with the Stephen Kwan news. We're talking next is Andrew Haney. Texas Rangers people are starting him against the Athletics tonight. And like I just talked about the Athletics, they're not a slouch team right now. They might just be hot and they might regress and go back to being terrible later. But as of right now, they have the 13th best OPS against lefties. And with Haney's ERA being at 5.10 and backed up with an xFIP of just 4.67, a Sierra of 4.20, his CSW is at 26.9. These aren't great numbers, and he's going up against an offense that just put up 20 runs. So, a lot of people are starting him. He's available in a couple of my leagues right now. I can go pick him up right now, and I don't think I am. I don't think I'm starting him in my 12-team leagues. If you're in 15-team leagues, go for it. You know, it is the Athletics. You know, there's a good chance that what we're seeing is a mirage, but I don't think that this guy is the one that you want to test your luck out on. I'm fading Heaney today. If you want to start him, go for it. But just beware, it probably won't be what you think. Let's talk Daniel Hudson. He is another favorite ad over the past 24 hours with Evan Phillips going on the IL. He is the in-house favorite to take over the closer role for the Dodgers. So that means a lot of wins, a lot of save opportunities will be had. He has an ERA of 3.60 on the year, backed up with an xFIP of 2.99 and a Sierra of 2.55 and a 27% K rate. He is a solid ad in all leagues for short-term boosts and saves. He will help your ERA and your whip and get you some strikeouts. I am in on Hudson. If he's available, go pick him up. He can really, really help out your team. And finally, the last person on the ads list is John Means. He went into the Lion's Den of Great American Ballpark and did very well. He got 8 strikeouts in 7 innings, 3 hits, no walks, and no runs. It has been a long last couple years for Means, but he is a solid 5x5 asset whenever he is healthy. In this start, he had a swinging strike rate of 22.4, CSW of 38%, with excellent pitch level values. His xFIP and Sierra from previous years do tell us he is not an everyday starter. They're against the elite offenses out there. I'm probably fading him, but that's if he's like your fourth, fifth end of bench kind of starter on your team, that's fine. If you can get someone on your bench that you can plug in against most teams in the league, he's someone I want on my bench and someone I'm adding. So go out and see if John Means is available. As long as he stays healthy, then he can really help out some teams, especially in a year with so many starters down. Anyways, now that's done with the ads, we're moving on to the drops. We already talked Alec Manoa. Let's go to Bailey Falter. His spot in the rotation is now shaky with Paul Skeens, you know, on the up and up. You know, he could be called up any day now. With Falter's ERA of 4.34, and he has a nice whip of 1.02, but his xFIP is 4.47, Sierra's 4.52. He is a shaky hold at best. Even if they didn't have Skeens coming up and breathing down his neck, he is someone I don't think I would keep on my roster. Reed Detmers is the next guy on the drop list, and I don't like that we're dropping him. If someone dropped him in your league, go pick him up right now. He had three clunkers in a row, yes, but his xFIP is still at 3.58. His Sierra is at 3.54. His K rate is still a solid 26.7%. We got to stop overreacting so early in the year. He has an excellent 31.2 CSW and a 15.1 swinging strike rate. You're holding Detmers. If someone dropped him, go send a thank you card and go pick him up, because he is someone who can really help out your league. I mean, I feel like I'm a broken record right now, but with so many injuries to the starting pitching market right now, a guy like Reed Detmers can really help a lot of guys and help a lot of teams. So go pick him up right now. I am in on Detmers with that xFIP and Sierra, the K rates there, CSW, swinging strike rate, it's all there. Detmers is someone who is a very solid start against most teams in the league. Don't drop him. Go see if someone dropped him. If they did, go pick him up. Luis Severino is a popular drop. I'm proud of y'all. This is a drop despite the 2.93 ERA. He has a solid-ish xFIB of 3.88 with a Sierra of 4.02, CSW of just 27.6 and 11.3 swinging strike rate. It's okay. I view Severino as just kind of a streamer, kind of based on the matchups, who he's facing, the environment that he's in. He can provide some value and some starts, but he's got the Braves and Phillies coming up. That's a hard pass. He's a good drop right now. The next person on the drop list is kind of a surprise in the world of Reed Detmers in that same area, is Eric Fetty. I mean, in shallow leagues, I guess you can drop him, but if you're trying to decide, I would lean very heavily toward keeping him. He has a 3.46 ERA, and it's legit, backed up with an xFIP of 3.75, a Sierra of 3.72. His CSW is a passable 28.4%. His pitch level value numbers are very solid. He has a solid start versus the Guardians coming up, who really don't scare me, with their 16th best OPS against right-handed pitchers. I absolutely am keeping Fetty, and I'm holding on to him, and I'm adding him wherever I can. He is a solid option for the rest of the year. I hope I didn't talk your ear off too much. If you have any questions, if you have any comments or suggestions, follow me at Twitter on X at Paul_34. Follow all the work at Sports Ethos at Ethos Fantasy BB. Give us a follow there. Check out our new blurb feed. It's very exciting to be a part of the blurb feed. It is brand new. It's in its infancy, and we're trying to get as much information up there as possible. So keep an eye on that as we try to build the baseball division here at Sports Ethos and just continue the momentum going. This episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Have a great day, everyone.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.